Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
There's four types of people in this room today. There are those that will go to bed without popping fireworks. It's number one. If that's you, raise your hand. And you'll be complaining about all the noise. Number two, there are those that will watch fireworks, watch someone else pop them. Raise your hand if that's you. Number three, there are those that will pop fireworks and will use them like they were designed to be used. In the tubes, making sure that everything's just right. Raise your hand if that's you. And then there's the rest of us that will light them and throw them and put three in a tube and let's do 10 at one time and let's shoot them at each other and all of the, if that's you, raise your hand. Lord, we just talked about wisdom. Let us walk in it tonight. Let us live in it. And God, as I said, let us all come back with all of our fingers and our eyebrows. I can't afford to lose any more hair, y'all. I need my eyebrows. Need my eyebrows. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5, Joshua 6, verse 20. This is our final installment, and I've got some stuff that I'm excited to share. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, Joshua 6:20, when the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city. It's our final installment in Wall Breakers, breaking down strongholds. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I am a wall breaker. Turn to your second choice neighbor and tell him, I'm pulling down strongholds all day, every day. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. There is a portion of Scripture that reads that God will use the foolish things to confound the wise. And when that word wise is used there, it is not a godly wisdom. It is that would go against the intellect of culture, the norm of society, maybe even science. See, faith and science, they can coincide because some of you have a chihuahua in your house. Chihuahuas were not on the ark. Hate to break it to you. There was two dogs on the ark. And those two dogs over the last 6,000 years have produced every breed known to man. That is the only evolution that I believe in, is that there was two of this certain type of animal, and over 6,000 years we get chihuahuas and pit bulls and Rottweilers and Dalmatians and corgis, and then leave it up to man to start making corgis and chihuahua babies, and we get chikorgis or whatever they're called. And we have taken these things and we've started. And so I believe that faith and science can coincide, but I believe that if I have to choose one, I'm choosing faith. Because there's a lot of things where science, it ends. It is finite. But when you introduce faith, it becomes infinite. And I say that to say this, that there are some things in your life that God is going to do in your life that don't make any sense. They don't make any sense to you. And I say this to free somebody from someone else's opinion. If it doesn't make sense to you, quit expecting it to make sense to someone else. Don't apologize for the way God's doing it. Don't try to explain how God's doing it. At the end of the day, I don't even know how God's doing it. I just know that He's promised to do it. I just know that He's working behind the scenes. I just know that at the end of this, whether it's a doctor's hand or the hand of my God, I just want God to heal me. and to make me what I'm supposed to be. And so sometimes God doesn't use cannonballs, he uses shouts to bring down walls. Sometimes God does not use the methods of man, but he uses heavenly things. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than ours. And so where we left off last session was we jumped back into Joshua chapter 6. And we left off talking about the gates and the walls. And the Bible says in verse 1 of Joshua chapter 6 that the gates were tight, were shut tightly. And I made the point that a lot of us are looking for God to do it the way it's always been done. That we go in the gate, we come out the gate. The walls have never been an option. And so when we look at the gates of Jericho and that they're tightly shut and they're securely barred, the New International Version says, no one came in and no one went out. It would be very easy for us to formulate a plan on how we're going to get through the door. And I know there's a lot of cute sayings on social media, and some of them are true, that while I'm waiting for God to open the door, I'm going to dance in the hallway. How about while the door is not open, I'm just going to bust through the wall, and I'm going to make, if God called me and has an appointment on the other side of this obstacle, I'm not going to just dance on this side of it. I'm going to bust my way through. I'm a wall breaker. I'm not just a wall talker. I'm not just a wall negotiator. I am, you are a wall breaker, and if God has an appointment on the other side of whatever I'm facing, I don't have to wait here before I get there. I can say to the mountain, but if the mountain doesn't move, I'm not going over, I'm not going under, I'm not going around, I'm going through. Hebrews 11, the faith scripture, has two words that are ambiguous throughout the text, and those two words are by and through. By faith, through faith, meaning as a result of. But when I was younger and I would read through faith, I would read it as through faith, like an action, like my faith is busting through to make the impossible possible. I want to encourage you that your faith, and faith never talks to the situation. Faith never negotiates with man-made things. Faith just says, this is the promise of God. And when a believer speaks the promise of God, stands on the promise of God, believes the promise of God, that through faith breaks down the wall. So we're not using gates. We're going through the wall. Verse 2, then the Lord said unto Joshua, the Lord said to Joshua before the walls came down, I have delivered Jericho into your hand, along with its king and its fighting men. There's a good place to shout. Before the walls fell, before they stormed the city, before a single action had been done, God said, this is the promise. The city is yours, the king is yours, and every fighting man is yours. Three things he said, I've given you the city, I've given you the king, I've given you the people. The promise is made. It is already done. At this point, the promise is concluded, it is finished, and the promise doesn't have anything left to do. All that's left to do is for us to be obedient to what God has spoken and what the Word of God says. Can I encourage you today? Everything that believers need, it is already done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven, there is no sickness. Heaven, there is no pain. Heaven, there is no depression. Heaven, there is no obstacle. Heaven, there is no thing, stronghold that is standing between you and God. And so I want to tell you today, and we ought to act like it for the next 15 seconds, every promise, all 6,000 plus of them, is already done. God, we are not waiting on God. We are not waiting on Him to finish it up. It is already done. What God is waiting is for believers to walk out every promise of God and say, God, if you promised it, even though there's a wall, even though there's a stronghold, I'm going through it to get to the promise. Obedience is the answer. We love to shout about the promise, but we go silent about the process. We shout about the promise, we get eerily quiet about the process. And the process, the process is what takes a lot of people out. Remember, there was that king in the Old Testament who the process of what river he was supposed to dip in. And he couldn't believe that the man of God would not come and have a faith. He was concerned with the process. I need to tell people, don't fall in love with the process, but don't be so hateful of the process that you miss your move, you miss your miracle, and you miss your walls coming down because you didn't like who said the word. You didn't like how God's doing the word. You didn't like how God's... Listen, some of you got enemies you don't even want to talk to, but could it be that God's going to use that enemy to bless you, to get you to where you're supposed to be? Listen, I got some people that hate on me all the time, but listen, if they want to bring me $1 million, I'll stop whatever I'm doing. I'll meet with them. I'll take them to lunch. I'll kiss them on the cheek. Why? Because I've come to the point in my life that I'm not going to be so concerned with the process that I lose sight of the promise. I will go through any process to make sure the promise is established in my life. There's three types or three players, actually four, but we'll go three players in this text. That once God talks to Joshua, he says, Joshua, Jericho is yours, the king is yours, the city is yours, the people are yours, everything in that city is yours. I just need you to take it. Josh says, okay, how are we going to do that? Well, you got some weapons for us? He said, you've already got the weapons. Well, what's the weapon? Your mouth. That's the weapon. I've come to tell somebody, quit looking for answers when you are the answer. Quit looking for help when you are the help. Quit looking for a new weapon when you have a weapon. And listen, you say, I don't have a weapon. If worship, praise, prayer, fasting, the word of God, if that's not the answer to the question, you're asking the wrong questions. Because the last time I looked, God is undefeated. He's never lost. He never will. And if he tells me to do it, that's what I'm going to do. So this is what he says to do. And we lose sight of this. How many of you have ever heard this preached? Joshua chapter 6 preached. We always talk about the praisers, right? That God sends the priest out to blow the trumpets. That signifies praise. We're going to get there. Before the praisers ever step out, God says, I need armed guard. Jaden, can you come up here real quick? Jaden is our praiser. I'm picking Jaden because she's like 95 pounds and 5 foot nothing. Jaden, man, I hope we get another stimulus. We can get you some new jeans, girl. Jaden's a praiser, y'all. One of the greatest things that I see and that a lot of my friends have told me from other churches, they said, we love to watch Jaden worship. Not listen to her, even though she has a great voice. They said, we love to watch her because she's 100% all in. Facial expression, her body, her voice, everything is all in to the worship, not for you, not for me, but for God. So can I just tell you that as a praiser, your number one job is to praise. Your job is not to fight. Your job is to praise. Your job is not to argue. Your job is to praise. Your job is to not question the process. Your job is to praise. A praiser praises. That's what they were created to do. That's what they're good at. That's what God has called them to do. And that ultimately is what's going to set us up for the walls to come down. Why? Because God inhabits the praises of his people. So he said, I need 7 praisers on the trumpets. And so Jaden's going to represent those praisers. But this is what God said. He said, I need armed guards or armed men, the NIV said. And he said, I need them to go before the praisers. Can I get Tito, Chris, Mike, and Sean? Man, God knew I was going to need you on the front row. Now, Jaden, can you just stand right here in the middle? Man, I wish David Miller was here to complete this trifecta. He's in New Orleans. I need y'all to just line up in front of her. Like, like shoulder to shoulder. We can't see her anymore. Jaden, can you sing any part of a worship song? Just sing it real quick. Okay. I hear it, but I don't see it. I hear it, but I don't see it. God doesn't have to see you praise. God hears you praise. And when you praise, God steps out of heaven and says, that's it. Their job, because we don't know if while we're marching around the walls, if there's idiots on top of the walls that are going to be shooting arrows at us. So God sends, ooh, this is going to preach good. God sends men that are there to protect your praise. That while you praise, they watch your back. They watch your front. They watch your side. So that you're not having to dodge arrows, but you can do what God has called you to do. Can I tell the church today that we got way too many people dodging the enemy instead of just praising? If you're praising, God's got your back. If you're worshiping, God's got you. Nothing's going to happen to you. Keep worshiping, baby. Keep praising, baby. Keep walking in faith. Keep praising. Well, what about them? I'm not worried about them because I got them. God's going to make sure that while I praise, nothing happens to me. Your praise is protected. Gives more credence to when David would say, when I make my bed in hell, you are with me. Why? Because I praised in hell and the flames couldn't touch me because you're protecting my praise. Mandy, can you bring, you got a Bible or you got your iPod, your iPod. My God, how old am I? Yeah, bring your phone up. Next, y'all just stand right there. Hey, you're not picking your nose back there, are you? Okay, just checking. And now we got Mother Mandy coming. Mandy is going to represent the next set of priests. Those set of priests carried the Ark of the Covenant. That's this. We'll make this the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant had three things. The Ark of the Covenant contained three things. It contained a jar of manna. It contained the rod of Aaron that budded and produced almonds. And it contained the two tablets that contained the Ten Commandments. So these three things are the provision of God. Come on. God will provide. It is the protection or the performance of God. And when you get the protection and the performance of God, all that leads to the presence of God. So where the ark of the Lord is, that's where his presence is. The ark doesn't show up until the praiser starts praising. Some of us are wondering where God is and where his presence is, but we've been praising and dodging arrows. And every time we praise and we dodge an arrow, we get our mind off of him and we start looking at them. But when we start praising, now the ark of the covenant shows up. Now God's presence marches with us. If you'll go stand behind Jaden. Here's where God threw me for a curveball. We got the guardsmen. We got the praisers. We got those that carry the word, the Ark of the Covenant back there. But then God said, give me some more armed guard. Brother Eric, come up here. Brother Bermea, come up here. I love this. Rob, come up here. I love this. God is not only going to protect your front. God's not only going to make a way where there is no way. God is not only going to take out the enemies that are coming after you. But if you're like me, you got a past that tries to follow you into your future. And so God said, not only am I going to flank you from the front, I'm going to put them on the side of you. And I need you three to go to the back. I need you to shift to the side. I need you to shift to the side. And I shouldn't even say this because it blessed no one but me when I was reading the text. I don't know if this is going to mean anything to you. I've never read this word in the King James Version. It calls the back guards rewarders. REREWARDER. We know what reward is. It means that God is, that we're getting something for something that we have done. A re-reward means that we are getting a double portion. So when you get your praise right, and you get the word right, and you get the presence of God showing up, and you've got the guardsmen in the front, and you got the guardsmen on the left and the right, and then you've got a reward, a re-reward that is coming along saying, hey, everything that has been stolen, I'm bringing it back to you. On the other side of that wall is God's glory. On the other side of that wall is your family. On the other side of that wall. Give me a couple more minutes. I'm almost done, Pastor Becky. When you go to the text, Joshua tells everybody, the first 6 days, all we want to hear is the trumpets praising. This is what he said. All we need to hear is praise. Because when we praise, the ark shows up. You say, are the rewarders, are they protecting the ark? No, they're protecting the men that carry the ark. The ark doesn't need to be protected. I know two reasons why it doesn't. In the Old Testament, when a man of God touched it, he fell dead. But the people that carry the word need protecting. Here's the other reason I know it doesn't need protecting. It's been hidden for thousands of years. No one has ever found it. You're not going to catch it on Pawn Stars. Indiana Jones made a few million talking about it, but it's never been found. And in my estimation, will never be found because God doesn't want it to be found. Because you don't have to find the ark to find him. You don't have to find the ark now to find his glory and to find his presence. So these guardsmen are protecting the praiser and protecting the one that carries the word. He says, for the first 6 days, you're going to march. Guardsmen, you're going to lead the way. Praisers, you're going to praise. You're going to carry that ark. We're going to hear the trumpet. The trumpet is the only thing. Why? Because we want to make sure, we want to make sure that this entire city is saturated with the presence of God. I don't need your opinion. I need the presence of God. I don't need you talking smack to those standing on the wall. I need the presence of God. So don't open your mouth. Don't say nothing. Don't quote nothing. Don't try to be cute. Don't try to intimidate. Just praise me for 6 days and let's get that thing saturated. I burn brush all the time. I don't use gas to start a fire because the vapors of gas will ignite. I use diesel because diesel, only the liquid lights. You put diesel in a 5 gallon bucket, you can light the top on fire and it will burn. Don't try it at home. I'm just telling you. What they did for six days is they just poured gasoline all around that city. And in their minds, they're saying, I can't talk about it, but man, we're making this place thick with praise. And if we saturate this wall with praise, if we saturate that king with praise, if we saturate the people with praise, this city with praise, oh, when I shout, it's going to be like a matchstick going off. There's going to be an explosion in the heavens and on earth. And what was in front of me will fall down flat. I'm not going to have to lift my fist. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. It doesn't make sense. But when I praise, God shows up. And when I shout, something happens in the heavenlies and on earth. You know what I love about this text? And I really am almost done. I love the fact that Joshua says, don't say a word. But then he tells the priest, keep blowing the trumpet. Here's a revelation. Some days you need to shut your mouth and not use words. And the only time you open your mouth is to praise, is to worship, is to bring God to where you are. Can I talk to somebody today? Some of you have been negotiating with your mountains. Please stop negotiating with them. Some of you have been trying to talk the walls down, and you talk a good game, but this ain't the streets. This is the heavenlies. And so you might be able to spit fire all day long, but unless it is God ordained, unless it is soaked in His presence, your words are futile, valueless, and meaningless. But when a praiser begins to praise, and when the presence of God and the Word of God shows up, all it takes is a shout. Pastor Becky, if you'll come. We look at this text and we make the mistake. Listen to what I'm going to say, church. That only a shout brought down the wall. Not true. There was a lot of prep work into that shout. And see, some of us have lost our voice. Because we're standing up against a brick wall and a stronghold. And we spend all day, every day. You know why I know we do that? Because we think by yelling at our problem that our point is more valid. That's why we can't have discussions anymore politically or socially or all of these things. Why? Because everyone goes 0 to 200 in 3 seconds. When you don't think we're hearing you, or I don't think you're hearing me, we automatically get some bass in our voice and we lift our voice and we start yelling. Why? Because we think that just the shout is what changes things. Just because you're the loudest doesn't mean you're right. You realize, and I don't want to get on this soapbox right now, but you realize that the LGBTQ plus community, which I love, Jesus loves, and Jesus died for, do you realize that that is less than 1% of our country? And we're flying rainbow flags at the Capitol. What about the Christians? We're supposed to be 80% of it. When was the last time you saw the Christian flag, white flag, blue square, red cross? When was the last time that they've taken the Ten Commandments out? I've got a problem with courts that take down the one thing from the art, from the word, from the presence that we've had all over our schools and our government. They tear those things down. You know why? Because certain communities shout louder. And because they shout louder and longer, their voice is heard. Can I tell you, it's not how loud you shout. It's not how long you shout. It's the authority. It's as the presence primed that when you shout, walls are coming down. I know I lost some of you the last 120 seconds, but let me bring it back into the spiritual things. There's a lot of things that you could say today. There's a lot of things you could do today. But can I tell you, just keep praising. Keep worshiping. You are prepping the ground. Mama, keep praying for them. Daddy, keep praying for them. Husband, keep praying for. Wife, keep praying for. One of the greatest lyrics from one of the great songs that we sing now, everybody standing on their feet, is walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall. Don't you know that the first day they felt silly? The second day, they felt even more silly. The third and fourth day, they're like, we look like lunatics. The fifth and sixth day, this is crazy. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say that the people of Israel that were marching around knew that it was going to be the seventh day. For all they knew, they were 5 days into 150 days. Remember, these are the same people that had marched in the wilderness for 40 years. Maybe in their mind, we got 40 years of walking. The last generation did it. And I feel like in my spirit, there are some people that during the last 3 or 4 weeks of this series say, man, Pastor, that preach is great, but man, that's hard to live out. These walls I've been facing them for a decade. What you're talking about sounds great, but man, I've walked these walls for years. I've come to church. I put it in God's hands for years. I thought they would have fell already. Realize that every time the wall doesn't fall, you've just prepped. You've prepped. You've poured a little more gasoline.
And it's going to come time for you to light that match. And whether it's been 6 days, 6 years, 60 years, when you shout, if you praised, if you've worshiped, if you've been obedient, if you put your fists away, said, God, I'm getting ready to lift my voice. But this time it's different. Because the atmosphere is ripe for walls to come down. I want to open this altar even more so than the 8 or 9 that are in this altar already. Woman of God, man of God, I'm talking to you. If you've been walking in circles and nothing's happened, it's not for naught. It's for prep. Get out of your seat and join us in this altar today.